This past Wednesday, President Biden spoke to the nation and Congress, at least 200 of them, as he presented his next plans, programs, their costs, and how he, well, believes they would be paid for. In case you weren't counting or lost count, the President used the word jobs a total of 43 times. Well, it is an obvious priority. Biden said the next round of created jobs would be blue-collar jobs that can't be outsourced, won't require a college degree. Considering who the Trump base is, that's an offer that's tough for even them to refuse, although, you know, some probably will. The economy's gained about 1.3 million new jobs in the Biden administration's first 100 days. That's more than any other presidency in that similar period of time. But U.S. is still more than 6 million jobs down versus the start of the pandemic. He didn't talk about this, but something needs to stop as well are the incentives to not to go to work. Unemployment system is not capable of handling a normal load, never mind checking up on this historic number of people that they become babysitters for. If you end the stay-at-home bonus, that'll get people back to work, being productive part of what we've seen now is once again a growing U.S. economy with still a lot more potential. Economy last report grew 6.4%, which is obviously a disjointed number because when you're coming out of the ditch, there's nowhere to go but up. But it certainly did not have to be that good. It was, thankfully. The President spoke about the success story to COVID-19 vaccinations that have been happening. Republicans see things differently. Senator Tim Scott gave the GOP response, credited former President Trump for Biden's good fortune, basically saying Biden inherited a winning lottery ticket. But if you want to be realistic about it, it's a split decision. Trump led the way in getting vaccines approved and produced, but it's been the Biden administration who, in a manner of speaking, got the ammunition to the battlefield. And from polling, it's kind of clear, too, the view of Biden is the one that winning the day, at least so far, with more Americans approving of his job performance than they ever did of Trump, with strong marks even from Republicans in the way Biden's been handling the COVID-19 pandemic. Truthfully, that's the result of simply, you know, who's more likable. And after the way Trump overall performed regarding the coronavirus, the Stop the Steal stuff, January 6th, the aftermath, it's very surprising who won that contest for Mr. Congeniality. To say the least, yes, President Biden did make the case for big government. He ticked off details, some of his plan for $1.8 trillion in spending for things like expanded preschool, family medical leave programs, child care subsidies, more than that. We'll get to that in a bit, too. Plan comes on top of his proposal for $2.3 trillion in spending to rebuild roads and bridges. That's the infrastructure bill, which has, well, another two-thirds that really aren't what would be traditional infrastructure ideas or programs. Is this a lot of spending? Yeah. Day before his first 100 days as president, Joe Biden pretty much laid out the foundation for whether he'll be a one- or two-term president. That's going to hinge on whether all this gets paid for. More about that in a bit, too. Initial post-speech polls showed that, depending on the poll, between 70 to 85% of people are buying what Biden is selling. Numbers at large include, well, more than what would be expected, support from GOP voters, even more from independents. Probably the catalyst for that support comes from Biden presenting at least a plan for how he's hoping to pay for all this. Biden also called on Congress to send him a police reform bill, named after George Floyd by the anniversary of Mr. Floyd's death, May 25th, but he also went further saying he wants to root out systemic racism in housing, education, public health, areas like that. So now we start to count. How many blacks are going to be shot and killed by cops before they can be judged by the legal system until Congress actually does pass any police reform? I think the GOP really needs to tell their occupants who want you to believe that the George Floyd Act would totally defund police and come to your house and take a gun. Just tell those people to sit down and watch the heavy lifting get done. The president did not give the attention many people on both sides hoped he would regarding the southern border crisis, which he better start doing because he owns it. It's one issue you can't say, you cannot say, Trump went to sleep on. Moving over to the Biden American Families Plan, some of the elements of it. They include affordable child care, calls for having low and middle income families pay no more than 7% of their income on child care for kids younger than age 5. Parents earning up to 1.5 times the median income in their states, they would qualify for that. President also wants to invest more in child care workforce, bring their wages up to $15 an hour. It's around $12.24 an hour. That was the average rate from last year. Now, if you think anything like this is unnecessary spending, then you don't know any working parent who had to deal with school-closed-induced child care over this past year plus. Another idea is about making community college free. $109 billion plan, 2 years of community college, free of charge. Federal government would pick up the tab for 75% of the average tuition cost in each state when the program is fully implemented, with states picking up the rest. States would also be expected to maintain their current contributions to their higher education systems. If all states, territories, all tribal land colleges take part in this program, about 5.5 million students would pay nothing in tuition and fees. Here's another idea, too. Maybe if so many colleges did not price way too many young adults out of an education opportunity, this wouldn't be where we are today. Hasn't helped the fact, too, this caused American students to fall behind those in other industrialized nations when it comes to basic workplace skills, like language, math skills, things like that. In addition to the community college measure, Biden would create a $39 billion program, provide 2 years of subsidized tuition for students from families earning less than $125,000 who are enrolled in four-year historically black colleges, universities, and other minority-serving institutions as well. Overall, when you look at colleges too, be a good idea to call on them to prioritize who actually gets accepted. Because the start of the college experience was designed to be a launch into a new level, higher level of education. It's, you know, it's called higher education for a reason. It's not there to be the 13th grade. When it comes to family and medical leave, American Families Plan will provide workers with a total of 12 weeks of guaranteed paid parental, family, and personal illness safe leave. This would be by the 10th year of the program. Partial wage replacement would apply to individuals who wanted to take time to bond with their child, care for seriously ill family member, deal with a loved one's military deployment, find safety from abuse, sexual assault, stalking, heal from their own serious illness, or take time to deal with the death of a loved one. Plan would also ensure 3 days of bereavement leave annually. That starts at the first year that the plan would be rolled out. Workers would get up to $4,000 a month through the National Leave Program, with the minimum of two-thirds of the wages replaced. Estimates have the program costing $225 billion over the span of 10 years, about 30 million private sector workers, many who are low-income earners and part-time, didn't have any paid sick leave before the pandemic broke out. Biden's plan calls for the federal government to invest $200 billion in universal preschool for all 3- and 4-year-olds throughout a national partnership with states. The administration estimates it would benefit 5 million children, save the average family $13,000. The program would be accessible to families of all income levels. States would pony up half of the cost when the measure is fully up and running. If a state opts out, the federal government will work with localities to keep the program going. Plan calls for recruiting teachers, strengthening the educator workforce. Calls for a doubling of scholarships for prospective teachers from $4,000 to $8,000 per year, and expansion of the program to early childhood educators. It would invest $2.8 billion in year-long paid teacher residency programs, $900 million special ed teacher development, and $400 million teacher preparation programs at black colleges, universities, tribal colleges, and other minority-serving institutions. One of the topics we've frequently talked about here on Issues and Ideas nutrition assistance for children, the president wants to invest $25 billion to make the summer pandemic EBT program permanent and available to the 29 million kids who are receiving free and reduced price meals. This is the program I remember when I first talked about this last year. I heard from a lot of people who didn't even know this program was there for the asking. The federal government, they really didn't do their best in PR work on an important program like this. The president would also expand the free meals program for kids in the highest poverty districts. That would mean an additional 9.3 million kids would qualify. There's a pretty good list, too, of relief measures that the president's plan would either extend or make permanent. It would keep the expanded child tax credit through 2025, boost up the Affordable Care Act subsidies permanently, and provide more help to pay for child care permanently. So the question is, how do we pay for this? Well, here's how Biden at least hopes to. This is all theory, until it's said and done, sadly. Raising income taxes on high earners. Biden wants to reverse the 2017 tax cuts by returning the top marginal income tax rate from 37% currently to 39.6%. That would apply only to those in the top 1% of earning people. Raising the capital gains tax rates, this proposal would require households earning more than $1 million a year to pay higher taxes than capital gains. Usually makes up the largest share of income for wealthy people. Long-term capital gains of these taxpayers would be subject to the top marginal rates, again, 39.6 versus the current 37%. You say death tax, and yeah, a lot of people have a problem with that. They got one in this, but there are some, well, I guess positive caveats. The plan requires the states to pay taxes on unrealized gains of more than $1 million or $2.5 million per couple when combined with existing real estate exemptions. But family-owned businesses, family-owned farms would not have to pay taxes if they're passed on to their heirs who continue to run the business or the farm. And there's also a call for an enhancement of IRS enforcement, which basically means more audits. Is this the death of the Reagan way of federal government? Well, if it is, the Republicans are the ones, especially during the George W. Bush and Trump years, who certainly put it in the ICU via their excessive spending without creating a way to pay it. Federal government adds to the debt whenever it spends more than it receives in tax revenue. Each year's budget deficit, that gets added to the debt. If there's a surplus, ha 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 ha, that gets subtracted. If you look at the impact of Trump on the national debt during his time in office, national debt went up by just about 36%. You might recall during the 2016 presidential campaign, then-candidate Trump promised he would eliminate the national debt in 8 years, or wound up not having that 8 years, but instead his budget estimates show that he would actually add at least $8.3 trillion, increasing the debt to $28.5 trillion by the year 2025. However, the national debt reached that figure a lot sooner. Looking back at the financial map here, when Trump took office, January 2017, the national debt stood at $19.9 trillion. Go to October 2020, national debt reached a new high of $27 trillion. There's your 36% in, okay, less than 4 years. National debt reached a new high of $28 trillion less than 2 months after Trump left office. You see, what happened was the tax cuts that Trump put in didn't create enough to make up for lost tax revenue. According to people who spend more time deciphering all this than you and I do, tax cuts only work to that type of plan when the rates were above 50%. That's why it worked during the Reagan administration, because back then the highest tax rate was 70%. You might remember, too, Trump also promised to cut federal spending waste, which is easy to find, tough to get Congress to do. Plus, when you consider what's been tagged as mandatory spending, there's, at least in federal budget scales, little left to work with and little left to cut to any level of effectiveness. What's left of the $4.8 trillion that's budgeted for fiscal year 2021 after mandatory military spending? Well, I say only, but when you look at the totality, yeah, only is pretty accurate. Only $595 billion to pay for everything else. That includes agencies that process Social Security, other benefits. That includes necessary functions performed by the Justice Department, like serving warrants on Rudy Giuliani. You didn't think I was going to let that one slip by, did you? And the IRS. You'd have to eliminate all that just to make a dent. So you can't reduce the deficit or debt without major cuts to things like defense and what are called mandated benefit programs. Cutting waste is not going to do the job you want to do. That's the reality of where the elected fiscal file-ups have put America in, especially over the last few decades. Everybody say thank you.